On Daf
Yudam Beis, and we had two possible answers to the question of 3, 5, and 7. Right? We start Ibra Hashana with three judges. If we have a 2-1 decision in favor of Ibra Hashana, then we go on to add two more judges up to number 5, and then if there's a 3-5 decision, 3-2 decision in favor of Ibur, we go up to the next level by adding another two judges, and finally we round off the Beis Din with seven judges. And then they can issue the ruling that will be Ba'abra the Shon and add an extra month to the year. Now, on this question about how we get to these numbers, 3, 5, and 7, we have two opinions. The first opinion, which we discussed at great length yesterday, was Birchas Kohanim. And we said Birchas Kohanim is made up of three brachos. And if you calculate the tevos, the words in each one of these brachos, you end up with 3 in the first, 5 in the second, and finally 7 in the third. So we pointed out yesterday, and I want to pick this up again today, that we seem to be going in ascending order. And the bracha that finally culminates is going to be the bracha that's made up of seven words. And I emphasize this because we're going to soon see that there's another possible source for the numbers 3, 5, and 7. And here I think we're going to come to the opposite conclusion, that we're not going in ascending order, but rather in descending order. So we're up to V'chad Amar. Let's see if we can find the place over here. We're up from the bottom of Daf Yud Amud Beis, and we're about to get to Daf Yud Aleph. But how many lines? 10?
I think 10.
Okay, 10 lines up from the bottom. And he says, V'chad Amar, Shlosha Kineged Shomrei Asaf, Chamisha me roe pnei amelech, and Shiva roe pnei amelech. So yesterday we saw the psukim inside. This is called the Malchus of Tzidkio HaMelech. And we're going to talk about how the king is surrounded by various officers and perhaps security people. And we're going to see that it divides up into 3, 5, and 7. So the 3, that's a reference to the security people, otherwise known as Shomrei Asaf. These individuals were in charge of guarding the Beis HaMikdash. And the enemy of the Jewish people, in this case the chief executioner, his name was Nebuzaradan, at the time Nebuchadnezzar, and Churban Bayis Rishon, he would first put to death the Shomrei Asaf, those who would protect the Beis HaMikdash. And then we go to the level of Chamisha. What's the Chamisha here? So if you look in the Psukim at the end of Sefer Melachim Beis, we looked at it yesterday, it says Chamisha Miroe Pnei HaMelech. Okay, so the Mem here of Miroe Pnei HaMelech means that there was a group of Roy Pnei HaMelech, but we're talking about only part of the Meiroi, means amongst the Roy Pnei HaMelech. There were 5 amongst the Roy Pnei HaMelech. Because this whole parsha appears also in Sefer Yirmiyah. And in Sefer Yirmiyah, it mentions Shiva. It doesn't mention 5. So the mem here of Meiroi Pnei HaMelech is very enlightening here, because what it means is that there were more than just 5, but Nebuzaradan puts to death from the whole group of Roi Pnei HaMelech. We don't know the size of that group yet, because that we need Yirmiyahu to tell us. He took out 5 of them. Those were the Roi Pnei HaMelech. Now, how many all told were there, the Roi Pnei HaMelech? So for that we need the Pasuk in Yirmiyah. And there the Pasuk mentions Shiva Roi Pnei HaMelech. Now, nothing that I'm telling you is smooth. Everything is complicated for two reasons. First of all, even in Sefer Yirmiyah, it says Shiva Meiroi Pnei HaMelech. So apparently there were more than just Shiva as well. So you wonder why the number 7 was selected here. But amongst those Roi Pnei HaMelech who were put to death, at this level there were 7 of them. That's point number one. Point number two is that if you look at Rashi here, Rashi doesn't mention the pasuk in Yirmiyah at all. Tosfos is going to mention the pasuk in Yirmiyah, that's the bottom Tosfos on the page. Rashi, in fact, mentions the first chapter of Megillas Esther. And it says over there that in Ahasuerus' kingdom, there were 7 Roi Pnei HaMelech, that Shiva. Shivas Sorei Poras Umodai. And Tosfos doesn't like this at all. He says, V'ein Nira Shetiknu Kineged Sorei Ovdei Galilim. It doesn't make sense in Tosfos' mind that the number 7, which in our context is the ultimate, right? Because that's the person that's going to hand down the final decision on Ibra Shana, that number 7, the 7 judges that make up that court, is derived from Achashverosh's 7 Roi Pnei HaMelech. I mean, who cares about Achashverosh and his idolatrous kingdom? And therefore, Tosfos Rabbein Tam invokes a different parsha, and that's in Sefer Yirmiyah, where the Torah pretty much repeats what it said in Sefer Melachim, word for word, with one discrepancy. Whereas in Melachim it says Me Chamisha Roi Pnei HaMelech, in Yirmiyah it says Me Shiva Roi Pnei HaMelech. But be that as it may, we're clearly talking about the Malchus of Tzidkio. Tzidkio was a great tzaddik, and his Malchus had the 3 Shomrei Asaf plus the 5 Roi Pnei HaMelech. And finally, it had the 7 Roi Pnei HaMelech. And all of these were put to death before Tzidkiyahu was put to death in a very cruel way. And that's what goes on here. There's more to this Tosfos. Maybe we'll have time to do the last part of this Tosfos. But in the first part of this Tosfos, we have Machlokas here about Shiva Roi Pnei HaMelech. According to Rashi's Pshat, Shiva Roi Pnei HaMelech is a reference to the Shiva Roi Pnei Achashverosh HaMelech. And according to Tosfos, it's Shiva Roi Pnei HaMelech Tzidkio in Sefer Yirmiyah. Okay, now, there are 2 points here that I want to make. And both I find here in the Masifta. Point number one, he quotes the Tosfos, that Ein Nira Loma Shetiknu Shiva Be'ibur Shana Kineged Sare Umos Ha'olam Shehem Ovdei Kochav and Lefichach Pirshu Atosus Shakamana Bezel Shiva Anasha Biroi Pnei HaMelech Hanizkarim B'Sefer Yirmiyah. Then he quotes a Rashi in Masechet Megillah on Daf Chav Gimel Sheyeshnam Shiva Anashim Sheroi Pnei HaMelech. Okay, now it turns out that according to Rashi, clearly in Masechta Megillah, let's see if we can get this point down, because that's an introduction to the next point that we want to make. It works like this. The Roi Pnei HaMelech were the ones who were closest to the king, and they were made up of a group of 5. Then there were Shiva Anoshim, who were also Roi Pnei HaMelech, but they weren't in direct contact with the Melech. I mean, on occasion they were, but certainly not on a regular basis. So when Rashi quotes the Pasuk in Megillas Esther of Shivas Sorei Paras Umadai, then amongst those Shivas Sorei Paras Umadai, there was Chamisha Anoshim Chashuvim Yoser. There were 5 who were more significant. They were called the Roi Pnei HaMelech. So that the Shiva Roi Pnei HaMelech are the Sarim, but they're in the outer cabinet. And let me try to emphasize this with the next point. And this next point comes from the Yad Ramah. I think I mentioned to you in the past that the Yad Ramah is one of the Rishonim of Chachmei Sfarad, who is very high profile in Masechta Sanhedrin. And the Yad Ramah says the following, that there's Shlosha, Hamisha, and Shiva, and in the case of judges, they are Oseik B'Melecha Shamayim. Why? Because they are involved in Ibra Shana. And Ibra Shana is something that goes on really in Shamayim. It's of great significance to add another month to the year. And ultimately, we need that up in Shamayim they accept the addition of an extra month to the year. But the Torah gave authority, invested authority in the Chachamim, these three groups of three, five, and seven judges, to be Oskim B'Melech HaShamayim, that they can achieve the Ibra Shana as if they are involved in what goes on in Shamayim. And why is this significant? He says the following, that the numbers 3, 5, and 7, in the case of Roy Pnei Malchus, and Rashi indicates that we're dealing even with not only Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, but also Achashverosh, that's the Malche Umos HaOlam. So what we're going to do down here, says the Yad Ramah, is we're going to be Mavatel Gzeros of the Malchei HaUmos. So the Malchei HaUmos are represented by these Roi Pnei HaMelech of 3, 5, and 7. And they are the people, in the case of Achashverosh, that are going to encourage Achashverosh to issue all sorts of decrees. And now we can be Mavatel those decrees on behalf of the people of Israel, because we are dedicated to be Oseik B'Malchus, but not the Malchus of the Umos HaOlam, but rather the Malchus of Shamayim. So our Malchus down here is going to, in a sense, parallel the Malchus of the Malchei Umos HaOlam, and we have the power to create a neutralization, if you will, to be mavatal, to neutralize the gzeros of the Malchei HaUmos. And if you have any doubts about the greatness of the Malchus here, of the Bezdin that's being ma'abra the Shana, you should know that they, down here, are going to ultimately determine the decision of the Malchus Shamayim. So, in a sense, we have three Malchus, or Malchios. We have the Malchus Shamayim, literally. We have the Malchus of the Bati Dinim, of the Jewish nation. And then we have the Malchus of the Malchei HaUmos HaOlam. And in a sense, if you want to organize them from the Yad Ramah's perspective, the hub is the Malchus of the Beis Din, because they will determine the Ibra Shana. That's called Oskim B'Melech HaShamayim. They will neutralize the decisions and the decrees of the Malchei Umos HaOlam, and the Malchus Shamayim Mamish is going to approve the initiative and the decision of the Malchus of the Batei Dinim here. Now he quotes a sefer called the Kos HaYeshuos, and he says the following: what's the nafkamina between the two opinions? Do we derive 3, 5, 7 from Birchas Kohanim or from the Roi Pnei HaMelech? And he says the following: L'das HaSover Sheish L'damosam L'Birchas Kohanim, that the analogy between the 3, 5, and 7 judges is to the Brachos of the Kohanim. Tzarech Sheyu Shnei Adayonim Shemosifim B'chol Pam Gidolim Yosef and Adayonim Shalifneihem. We're in ascending order, so when we add another two judges to the Beis Din of 3, they have to be greater than the Beis Din of 3 in their stature, in their Bekiyas, in their Yediyas HaTorah, and so forth and so on, their experience. And then when we go from 5 to 7, we had another two judges. Those two judges have to be greater than the judges that made up the court of 5. And we're always moving up the ladder. And we derive this from Birchas Kohanim, Kishen shebebirchas konim abrochos hem begeder mosif v'holech. Shekol bracha chashuva mi bracha shekadmusa. Each bracha is greater than the bracha that came before it. And so too, when we add judges, so we go from the bracha of 3 to the bracha of 5 to the bracha of 7, we're always in ascending order. So too, when we add judges, it's got to be in ascending order. We need judges that are gedolim yoser min hadayonim shalifneihem. He says, Masha'en kein ledasa sova sheshet damosim leroi pnei melech, hadinu lehepuch. It's just the opposite. Hadayonim ayoshvim mitchila. Notice the first three judges. Heima chashuvim min elu shemosifim liachrakach. Shekein shloshes roi pnei melech, chashuvim yoser min achamisha. Now again, I don't know what he means by shloshes roi pnei melech. I don't see that phrase in our Gemara. All I saw was shlosha shomrei hasaf. But somehow I'm assuming, which I don't know exactly why, because the Shomrei HaSaf were in charge of protecting the Beis HaMikdash, that since they're in charge of the entire operation, the enterprise of the Beis HaMikdash, and I guess the keys are in their hands, so they were even closer to the king than any of the other members of his cabinet. I didn't come up with that on my own. I'm just saying that's what he says here, the name of the Kos Yeshuos. So the highest level of the three, 5 and 7 is the level of 3, because Heim HaChashuvim BiYoser. Okay, next we have the Roi Pnei HaMelech, and those apparently are the ones who are closest to the king. And then we have the Shiva Meroi Pnei HaMelech, they are the furthest from the king. So therefore the most important judges have to be the first Beis Din that's made up of 3 judges. I'll read it again. Hadayonim ayoshvim mitchila heima chashuvim yosef and elu shemosif leachamikan. Shekein shloshes roi pnei hamelech chashuvim yosef min hachamisha v'hachamisha yosef min hashiva. So we're not going in ascending order, but rather in descending order. Now I thought that this could shed a light on the machlokes as to whether or not you need deliberation, right? So we had, let's just go over that machlokes from yesterday very quickly. We added 2 judges to the 3 and then 2 judges to the 5 until we got to 7, and then Ma'avrim is Hashana. According to one school of thought, all the deliberations were finished. They were complete. And immediately, the Beis Din of Shiva will just issue its proclamation inaugurating the Shana Muberes. But there's another Shita that says no. That when we get to 7, we got to start from scratch. That's the Rambam Shita in Kiddush HaChodesh and also Pirush Mishnayis. And we need a new deliberation of Maso Matan implemented by the Beis Din of Shiva, and ignoring whatever Maso Matan took place in the earlier Batei Dinim. So I thought the following, that if you go with the first opinion here of the 2 opinions, that all the Maso Matan was complete beforehand, so I don't know if I need Chashuvim Yoser in ascending order when I add the 2 judges to hit the number 7. Why? Because the Maso Matan was done by the greater of the judges. Again, we went down a little madriga, we went from 3 to 5, but now we just need, almost as a legal formality, we need another 2 judges to form a Beis Din of 7.
So those 2 new automatically follow the robe of the 3? What are they doing?
Which 2? The 2 that you add to the 3?
You have the 3 most kashim,
right,
in that shita.
Right.
So now you bring in 2 more.
Right.
What are those 2 new doing? Just following
They're going to also add to the deliberation, but they don't have to change. They don't have to change in any radical way, you know, the deliberation that took place beforehand. So we don't need that level of judges. But once the Beis Din of 5, again, I'm not sure why we need that transition from 3 to
deliberation when the 2 come into form 5.
Yeah, I think so. He's just saying that when they add the last 2 to the 5, liachas shemosifim mechamisha l'shiva ma'arim es hashana miyad. If you'd like, you can research this. He's just quoting the Rashash. You'll have the Rashash in the back of your Gemara, and you can take a look. I didn't have time to do that, but I'm just pointing out that according to that school of thought, it could be that the two judges that you're adding to the five are not on the same level as the other five.
Okay, so what are the final two doing? They're just going
right. We need a formality of seven in order to create this kind of bezin of malchus, because malchus requires seven.
They have to automatically follow the rove of the five.
And the five have already made the decision. They just have to enact it, you know, as a declaration. But if you go with the other shita, that no, we're going to start according to the Rambam the entire process of Masa Matan from beginning. Now that's a little bit odd, because you've already got five judges, and there's a possibility at least that those five judges came to a unanimous decision. So somebody asked me yesterday, I don't know if it was you, Steve, that what are you going to gain by adding two to make a revision of seven if you have a five unanimous decision in the free court? So I answered that maybe these two will convince the Bezdin in the deliberations that they made a mistake, and there's no justification for Ibur Shana. And that makes sense if you assume, you know, that everything's going to change. I call it Panim Chadoshes Bolakan by the addition of these two judges. If those two judges are greater than the previous judges, if we derive it from Birchas Kohanim. And you know, another thought occurs to me. Remember we said yesterday that in Birchas Kohanim it's not one bracha made up of three parts, which would total 15 words, because then maybe we should require 15 judges, but that each bracha is a separate entity. So if you go with that mahalach, then it makes sense that in each case you have a new bezdin here. Right? Again, you might ask me, but we're only adding. It's not like Birchas Kohanim, where there's a whole new bracha. But once we add those who are gedolim Yosef, because again, from Kohanim we're going to derive an ascending order, those two gedolim, who are greater than the other members of the court, they might change the entire deliberation. You know, the ruach hadvarim, you know, the inclination is going to be changed from Mizrach to Myra. And that's because they're so great relative to the other judges. But if you're deriving it from Malchus of Roi Pnei HaMelech, etc., we're saying we're getting further and further away from the king, then it could very well be that we need extra judges just as a matter of legal formality, but they're not really going to make a massive impact on the decision of the judges, and therefore they don't have to be as great as the other judges that came before them. Tani Rav Yosef, this is a repetition of what we learned until now. There's a brisa of Rav Yosef. Hani shlosha v'chamisha v'shiva shlosha k'neged shomrei asaf chamisha miroi pnei hamelech shiva roi pnei hamelech. Only Abai the Rav Yosef. So Abai was very surprised, because he thought that Rav Yosef was a little bit tardy in revealing this inner secret. Ano idna my time of the parshal and mar hachi. Like I've been learning with you for years and years. Like why did you wait till today, Boker Tov, and tell me this? So Rav Yosef responds to Abai, and he says, "Lavi Yadan, I didn't know the Tzri Chisu that you needed to know this. Meaning, I didn't know that you weren't aware of this. Mi ba Isu minai milsa v'lo Amri l'chu. Did I ever have in my? Do you check my record? Was there ever something that I knew that you needed to know and needed to be to learn about? And v'lo Amri l'chu, and I denied you that information. I have a pretty good record." I don't keep any of my cards close to myself. Any Torah I have, I transmit to you. But in this case, I thought that you knew about it. Now, why did he think they knew about it, that he didn't know about it? I can't understand. Okay, now we start the sugya of Nasi. Now, the sugya of Nasi is predicated on a premise, and we have to know why. How did the Gemara know this premise? And the Gemara doesn't really address this question, but the Gemara like assumes a premise without even telling us how they know such a thing. And the premise is that the kingpin who really decides as to whether there'll be Ibur Hashana is the Nasi of the Sanhedrin. So let's say the Sanhedrin is made up of 71 elders, and the 71st is the Nasi. And he's, you know, we're learning the sugya of Ibur Hashana everything begins and ends with the Nasi. When I say begins, the Torah Rabbanah we learn in the Braisa, and here we're going to turn to Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Eima Arvus Hashana Ela B'mizumanim La. Mizumanim La, Rashi says on the top of Daf Yud Aleph, Shehizminan Hanasi Mi Ba'erev. Which means that we have to give at least one night's notice in advance before the morning in which the Beis Din is going to sit and deliberate about the Ibra Shon. It's almost as if an instructor will tell his students, tomorrow there's going to be a quiz, so to spend the night, you know, studying, do a mishmar tonight, and prepare yourself for the quiz. And the Taras Chaim, that's Reb Chaim Shor, who lived about 2.5 centuries ago, he writes, the Tama Dovar, anyone who is invited to sit on this Beis Din, and the invitation had to come signed and sealed from the Nasi himself, is he should come prepared. He shouldn't come to the table cold. Meaning he has to do his own research. Before he gets into the relation with others, he already has to begin his research on his own. We're increasing the probability of success in this deliberation, in this discussion, because the judge is already prepared beforehand. Now keep in mind, Rabosai, in a normal case of, let's say, litigation, this would be totally antithetical. You know, you don't want the judges to be involved in deciding on their own before they come into the Beis Din. First let them hear the evidence, and let them, we gather together the Dayanim and there's deliberations. We don't want anyone to come with a foregone conclusion? Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
But in the case of Ibra Shana, as we're going to soon see, there are all sorts of meteorological considerations, you know, the weather conditions, growth and, you know, produce and, you know, the winter's coming too fast and we have to delay the winter, or the spring is coming too late and we have to preempt this, you know, there are all sorts of different considerations. Those are objective factors, so you don't come into the deliberation without knowing the facts on the ground. Kind of like we have in law today something called an expert witness, right? He's there to give you the facts and the figures. Now, I'm not sure.
Depending who he's hired by.
Okay. Hopefully he's hired by the Beis Din, I think, and by the court. In other words, it's not always clear that the expert witness is really objective. Is that what you're saying? He's getting paid. The question is, who's paying? Is that true also for like forensic stuff? You know, when they call in a physician to, you know, who's looked at the dead body and so forth. And, you know, of course, if that be the case, man, that's pretty scary. I'd like to think that there's some objectivity in law in punishment, especially in capital cases. So what's happening here? You need something called mizumanim. Like somebody asked me why I didn't go to so and so's wedding. So I said I have a kabbalah for my father. If I'm not invited, I don't go. So in the case of Ibra Shon, you got to get an invitation. Now I don't know if it's an oral invitation, if it's a written invitation, but maybe either way is fine, but the Nasi has to pat you on the back and say, I want you on my Beis Din. I want you there tomorrow. Show up, you know, 7:30 a.m., you know, for this deliberation. And the Dayan, who's invited, not only is he supposed to show up, according to Taras Chaim, he should be already researching, gathering the information that's necessary for this important deliberation tomorrow.
Did I hear you say that the Nasi is the one who ultimately makes the decision?
Yeah, we're going to see later on that the Nasi has veto power. It's really, really fascinating how the Nasi is not just the Gadol Shebekula, but in Ibra Shana, he represents Klal Yisrael. So, with all due respect to the judges, they may have to defer to the wisdom and the decision of the Nasi. But again, that's, you know, I'm already reviewing something that we haven't gotten to yet, so we'll wait for that. Okay. Now, the strange thing here is that what we're going to see as we go along is that how many judges is the Nasi going to invite? What would be your gut reaction? 3, 5, or 7? Those are the choices. I would say 3, no? Because we're not yet ready, you know, we're opening up the whole discussion here that we should start with Shlav Aleph, as we say, meaning with 3. Strangely enough, the magic number here as we go through this sugya is going to be 7. So we have to, there's a piece of the puzzle that we're missing here. I'm just pointing this out so you shouldn't get confused. Let me be confused. I am confused. I don't know why the Nasi up front is inviting 7. L'chora, he's jumping the gun a little bit because we're not ready for the 7. Ma'aseh Rav Gamliel. Rav Gamliel was the Nasi. Sha'amar. So he dresses the judges one by one. Hashkimuli, wake up tomorrow in the morning, early in the morning. And he spoke to Shiva Dayanim. And the location for this convention would be L'Alias Gag. Alias Gag means they had a place which is on the higher floor. And that was designated for what we call Yeshivas or Moshav Bezdin. And Rav Gamliel said, I want you 7 judges there early in the morning because we're ready to decide on Ibra Shana. Now the very fact that the Nasi invited them, what does that indicate in the Nasi's mind? That there is, right, that there may, again, he's not convinced yet, but at least there's very good, ample reason to consider that situations are such on the ground that may require at this point adding an extra month to the year. So I want to read to you again a quote from the Yad Ramah. He says the following, that we open up the deliberations with 3, and then we add another 2. Now, the impression I get here is that according to the Yad Ramah, although Rav Gamliel invited 7 judges, he didn't mean to say that all 7 judges would necessarily be part of the deliberations up front. And especially if you go with that sheet that we based on Birchas Kohanim, that's in ascending order, so there were 3 out of the 7 that were perhaps the Gedolim, the greats of the 7, and they would begin the deliberations, but Rabbi Gamliel wanted to make sure from the get-go that he would have access to 7 judges. He didn't want to get to a situation where, because again, if at the end of the day we're going to decide for Ibra Shana, then it becomes urgent. We cannot postpone it. And again, all that will become clearer when we learn the sugya, either today or tomorrow, of what are the factors that come to play to make that decision to add an extra month. So he wanted to make sure that all the 7 were available. You know, we don't have to start going through the yellow pages, you know, and Facebook and start inviting them to the Bezdin. You know, they're there in the waiting in the wings. Okay. Now what happens? Kishkin, Rav Gamliel gets up in the morning, goes up to this Aliyah, to this God. Umatza, guess what he finds? Shmona. There are 8 Dayanim. Well, obviously, somebody showed up without an invitation, correct? So why doesn't Rav Gamliel just pat him on the back in a very nice diplomatic way and tell him to get lost? you're not invited. So it seems from the Gemara, this is a Pele of a Gemara, that Rav Gamliel did not know which of the 8 judges was the extra baggage. And therefore he made a declaration. And he says, Amar, me, who, sha'olah, shalobar shus, yeret. This is also a pella of a Gemara. I mean, let's say for some reason, which we'll soon see in the Mepharshim here, why Rav Gamliel couldn't identify the one guy who was not invited. But given that he could not identify him, imagine to make that public statement. You're mentioning Kamsa bar Kamsa. This is pretty close. This is a busha v'cherpa. Amad Shmuel Akatan. Shmuel gets up on his feet. The Amad, he declares, Ani Ushal Lisi Shalo Bershus. I wasn't invited. We'll soon see that that's not true.
Yeah.
But he didn't want to embarrass anyone. So he gave a whole flimsy story to explain why he showed up without an invitation. And a little more halacha, v'lo li'aver shoshana olisi. I didn't come as one of the invited members, because without an invitation you cannot be part of the Beis Din. Ella, but I came lil mod halach lemaisa. I came as an apprentice. I just as a spectator, right? I want to see what goes on. Utsrachti, I had to come. Now again, I'm not sure what the word akata means. We'll soon see that the Gemara says akata means that he was humble. But let's make believe we don't know that Gemara. Let's say akata means he was the youngest of the group. If he was the youngest of the group, then he is going to be the link to the next generation. It's very critical that he watches what goes on in the Friya de Gadar in the previous generation, so that he can now play a role and pass on the baton, because the rules and the decision-making process of Ibur HaShana are very complicated. Are we justified to add another month, or are we not? So I had to push myself in here as a spectator. And it seems that as a spectator, you don't have to have an invitation.
Forgive me, why couldn't the youngest of the seven do that?
Well, maybe the youngest of the seven was 80 years old, and Shmuel HaKadosh was 40. You know what I'm saying?
Is he on the baton? He's teaching the younger generation?
Well, yes and no. In other words, there are things that go on in the courtroom that are very exciting. You know, I can pass on to you the final decision, but if you weren't there, again, today we would have a videotape maybe, but barring a videotape, if you're not there off an art on the spot, you know, you might miss some of the nuances in the deliberations because it's not recorded. And if you're going to be the link to the next generation, you want to be there to see the various innuendos here, you know, the very subtle below the surface, the shikulim, you know, factors that made their decision. Hikshu Abafarshim, I'm reading the note here. Ketzad yitachet shorv gamlil lo yada mihu ha'ola shalom b'rshus alohu atzmo hizmina me'esma. We can't design. He doesn't know who's the extra baggage. He was the one who invited them. So he quotes Rabbeinu Chananel. Anybody who has it inside can look inside as I read the summary. It's the top Rabbeinu Chananel on your page. Shalo yiched Rabbi Gamliel anoshin misuyonim leishet bibra shona la'omer b'stam sheyalo shiva anoshin. This appeal of Rabbeinu Chananel. He is so bothered by this question that he comes up with a radical conclusion that you don't have to have an invitation by name. Rav Gamliel was just announcing to the judges that seven judges should show up for the decision. And Ashiva Sha'olim Rishona, it's like first come, first serve, Haim Ha'olim Bershus. But the eighth one, and Rav Gamliel had no way of knowing who was the eighth, Shekvar Nishlam Kvar Minyan Adayanim, who only shalom b'rshus? So there's a quota here of seven, and not beyond seven. If you're the eighth man, then sorry, buddy, come back in a couple of years from now, maybe 3 years down the line. Maybe you'll get there within the first seven. And therefore, Gamliel had no clue who is the one who came in eighth, and therefore he was shalom b'rshus. That's Rabbeinu Chanan. Rabbeinu Yonah Kosav, Sherab Gamliel Zimein Kol Echad Me'ashiva Kol Echad Bifnei Atzmo. That Rav Gamliel himself personally invited all seven. But Kidesh lo yisbaishu ha'cherim she'enem mizumon. I don't know why he uses the plural here, because you get the impression it was only one, but okay, fine. He didn't want to embarrass that person. Is lefichach lo hayu ha'cherim yodim miyu sha'ola shalo b'rshus. In other words, Gamliel himself knew which one was uninvited, but nobody else knew, because they had an invitation, but they didn't know who else was invited. That wasn't public information. So therefore, lo ratzel levaisha v'lomalo b'mefurash leire. In other words, he basically said, "Look, I know you, and you know me, and I know who you're. You know, you're the eighth guy. You were not invited, but I'm not going to make a a declaration that would embarrass you. So therefore, just, you know, find your way out of here. You know, you're like, when the lights go out, you know, if there'll be an electric shortage, you know, sneak out of here. Now, I would say the following, again, this is Berzon talking, you can take it or leave it, that maybe what Rav Gamliel was doing, he was trying to minimize the humiliation. Ultimately, there is a serious sakana here that person would be humiliated because, you know, everyone's looking around to the left and the right, like, who's the extra guy here? And then all of a sudden, one guy picks up and leaves. And that's where Shmuel HaKatan stood up to the plate and he said, no, I'm going to be the one to leave. But not only that, I have an excuse. What am I doing here? Why did I sneak in? So that's Rabbeinu Yonah. So again, let's go over this. According to Rabbeinu Hananel, Rav Gamliel had no clue who was the extra guy because he only invited, you know, in a general sense, seven people. Rabbeinu Yonah can't tolerate that because Rabbeinu Yonah says that there's no Yiv Roshana El B'Mizumanim, and it's not just first come, first serve. You know, you're not going to be a self-appointed Mizuman. You have to get the Zimun. But rather, Rav Gamliel wanted to minimize the humiliation of the extra person. Now again, we haven't yet decided why that extra person is such a bother to Rav Gamliel. Let him, I guess Rav Gamliel is assuming that the extra person is going to try to take part in the deliberations and maybe in the final decision in the vote, and he's not a mizuma. And the bezin has to be made up of seven. Again, if you have eight on a bezin, you have a problem of what? A bezin shakul, right? Varan Kasav, now we have a third interpretation. Gamliel Amar L'Shlucho L'Zamein Shlosha Zekeinim. So this is like a pshara between the two extremes. So Rabbi Nachnal says you could just say, you know, first come, first serve. Rabbi Yonah requires a personal invitation. And now we have the Ran. The Ran is midway between the two. The Ran says, you know what? He appointed a Shliach. The Shliach will now decide who he's going to invite. But guess what? Rabbi Gamliel himself didn't get the word back. The law yodea miu sha'ol shelo b'shus, and the Ran says that this is the language of the Gemara. Hishkimu hashkimu li shiva l'aliyah. Let seven go up to the God. What do you mean? Let seven go up to the God. Where's the zimun? And we're not holding like Rabbeinu Kanana. So the answer is kach tzivo l'shlucho. The words hashkimu li shiva l'aliyah are not addressed to the seven judges, because otherwise, why would he say seven? What do you mean seven? You should get up, and you should get up. The answer is he's commanding his Heisbach, or his second in command, the Shliach. Because otherwise it should have said, Omar l'shiva ashkimu l'aliyah. He said this. What does it mean, ashkimu l'shiva? So again, Rabbi Nachmanel is in the driver's seat here. He's saying ashkimu l'shiva means first come, first serve. Whoever gets through the door first. We get seven. You know, they have I'm sure all over the world, but I saw it recently in Manhattan. You know, Manhattan, in certain buildings, you know, you have to go through the turnstile. So the turnstile would turn seven times, but it was programmed that after the seventh time, you can't get through the turnstile. But somehow the guy snuck in. He went underneath the thing. So what we have here is, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, Shiva, you know, any seven. Again, he was talking to a group of people who were all qualified. But the first come, first serve. What are we going to say if we require an individual invitation? So the answer is that in such a case, we're going to have to say that he was addressing a shliach. And he said to the shliach, hashkimu li, you know, this get for me, shiva l'aliyah seven. But each one would have his own personal invitation. You know, I was wondering about, say, you know, there's a sugi ksubis about whether you should be mevatel Torah to go to a wedding. So the Gemara says, mevatel Torah to achnasas kala. Now, just to give you one example, you can come up with a million examples. If you're the head of an institution, like for example, Rav Kupman Olav Shalom was the head of the Mechalah. He had thousands of students, and they were all young women who were about to get married with imagine if you have to close shop and go to every single wedding that you get invited to. So I'm not sure the answer to that question, but I just want to suggest one little prat. Again, this is not going to address the whole klal, but maybe sometimes there's something called a general invitation. It's not addressed to you personally. Have you ever seen that? they write on the outside, Ulebnei HaMishpacha, you know what I'm saying?
Or you put it on the bulletin board.
Well, yeah, they hang it up on the bulletin board. So in such a case, I would say, Ein Mevatlin Torah. You know, if he didn't give you a personal invitation, you would just include it in the klal. Maybe you don't have to stop your learning for the sake of Achnosis Kal. I don't know. In any event, he says the following. There's another girsa now, Gemara in the Yerushalmi. What exactly did Shmuel HaKotan say? And according to that girsa, you keep your finger on our text. Here the text is, right, Lola Adra Shana Lisi Ela Lilmod Halacha Lamaisa Utsakti, right? He says, Halacha Nitzracha Li V'nitz Nichnasti L'Shol. That Shmuel came up with a flimsy excuse that the only reason he showed up in the Beis Din is because he had a shiloh, he had a question to ask. And he was hoping that at this occasion, you know, with all the giants, he'd be able to put his question in. And if that be the case, then he wasn't coming at all to learn about the Ibra Shoda procedure, as I told you before, but rather according to Shalmi's Girsa, he had a question. You know, maybe his wife had a Mara, and he had to ask, you know, whether it's Tommy or not. I don't know what question he had, but he had a question. He joined the bandwagon here in order to ask his question. Amalot. Now again, you know, until this point, you get the impression that Rav Gamliel is a very harsh kind of personality. And there are other Gemaras that also seem to indicate that. But here, he becomes like a Zayda, like a compassionate grandfather. And he probably put his hand over Shmuel HaKotan's cheek, and he said, "Shave, Vinny, shave. My son, sit down." Re'uyos kol ashon, I get chills from this. Re'uyos kol ashonim kulam l'sabra yodecha. And again, I think he's giving him a sort of like a mandate for the future generations that he should be the one who should be in charge of Ibur Hashana for all the years to come. I can't allow you now to be part of the Beis Din because you aren't Mizuman. And that's only because Shmuel said that he wasn't Mizuman. Now, this Gemara is very difficult if you assume like Rabbeinu Yonah, because Rabbeinu Yonah says that we knew exactly, and Rabbi Gamliel knew exactly who the Mizuman is. And if that be the case, then what Shmuel is saying is not just a gebloft of mice, he's not just making this up, but in truth he was not invited. Well, look at the next line in the Gemara, and I don't know how Rabbeinu Yonah is going to tolerate this line. It says, "Below Shmuel HaKotan Havi." In fact, Shmuel HaKotan was not the extra baggage, he was not number 8. Elina Shachrina, it was somebody else. Umachmas ki sufa hudiyov, and he just didn't want to embarrass the person who was not invited. But in truth, he was invited. And this is what you call Mishana Mipnei HaSholem, that you're allowed to lie for the sake of saving someone the humility, the humiliation, and the embarrassment of Halbanas Pana. So again, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, who says that Rabbi Gamliel actually invited each one of those 7, how could Shmuel HaKotan pull the wool over his eyes and say, "I wasn't invited," when Rabbi Gamliel knew exactly that he was invited? And again, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, you're going to have to say that somehow Rabbi Gamliel played along with this whole thing. Maybe according to Rabbeinu Yonah, because again, Rabbeinu Yonah said that he knew exactly who Rabbi Gamliel knew his name, but he didn't want to embarrass him. Maybe this was all staged in such a way that Rabbi Gamliel was hoping that somebody amongst the Mizumanim would remove himself, and hence now the other person who was not invited would step into his shoes. I think that's what Rabbeinu Yonah would say. This is just a guess on my part. So again, Shmuel HaKotan is willing to take upon himself the humiliation of admitting, so to speak, in inverted commas, right, admitting that he was the extra baggage here, when in fact he was not, in order to spare that person from humiliation from Halbanas Ponim.
I didn't know if that extra one was Roy.
That's the question. You see, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, or if you take the third pshat of the Ran, then they were all ru'uyim. You know, it was just that the dayan, well, the first come, first serve. But you know, the Rabbi Gamliel was addressing himself to a group beyond the number seven that were all suitable, according to Rabbeinu Yonah. That we insist that Rabbeinu Gamliel himself had to invite these seven judges one by one. Your question, Jerry, is an excellent question. How do we know that the extra guy, you know, he's number eight, and Shmuel is trying to cover up for him? How do we know that he was right for the zimun, and they're about to embark upon the, you know, the Ibra Shana? The only answer I can give you is that maybe, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, if Shmuel was actually invited, then we have a Beis Din of seven. And that's the key point here, that Rabbi Gamliel knew that somebody, I'm not sure if he knew exactly which one, but in this case it was Shmuel, would come forward, and he told him, shave b'ni shave. Which means that he was actually part of the Beis Din. So the one who illegally showed up was not really part of the ultimate Beis Din. Now he writes the following. The fact that one person is present who's not min ha-mezumanim does not undermine the process of Ibra Shana, because he's not mitztarif to the minyan, even though he's there. Because otherwise, how does Rav Gamliel turn to Shmuel HaKatan and say shev b'ni shev if he's not a mezumah? Because again, according to those Rishonim who say that Rav Gamliel was unaware of the identity of the extra person, so as far as Gamaliel is concerned, he was naively fooled into believing that it was Shmuel who is the extra person. However, there's a Yerushalmi that says that on that day they did not implement the Ibra Shana, but rather they spent the entire day bedivrei Torah, and they postponed the actual Ibur to the next day. And you could argue that the reason they did that was because they didn't want someone who wasn't mizuman to be present. However, he quotes other achronim, and he says that nirishalo asu came mishum shiyashav shomechet shlo uzman. That even in the Yerushalmi, it wasn't that they postponed the decision by day because of the presence of the extra baggage. They were afraid that if they would decide the final, they would issue the final verdict on the Ibra Shana, and then it would become clear which person was the extra person, because he wouldn't have the chutzpah of voting together with the other seven. So to spare, again, I'm not sure exactly what you gain by waiting another day, but apparently if they waited another day and that extra person didn't show up, so somehow, you know, that would minimize his humiliation.
The note in the Moscow says that Rabbi Gamliel didn't want to move a Hodesh without Shmuel HaKatan.
That's a whole other tape. And what about the number eight? You know,
so, well, that's what was postponed.
He's quoting Yerushalmi. Yeah. That Yerushalmi said that they postponed the decision to the next day, because in the meantime, between today and tomorrow, one of the Dayanim would drop out, and it wouldn't be Shmuel. Shmuel would stay on, and that was very critical for Rav Gamliel. And tomorrow they would have seven.
But isn't time...
Rubik, can you just give me 5 seconds? I just want to read one more thing here. Just 1 second. Mashokos of Kevon. She yesh the daik na shalom misha ola shalom pushus yerich ha'im la me'o. Shoot. Wow. Wow. This would support, Rubik, what you said. Because the Mashah asks, look carefully at the language of Rav Gamliel. Rav Gamliel shows up, and lo and behold, there are eight people there. So he bangs on the table, and what does he say? Misha husha ola shalom b'shus yerit. So it seems like you're not allowed to have an extra person here. So if that be the case, how could it be that Shmuel was told shave b'ni shave? I mean, there's an extra person. I mean, Rav Gamliel said yerit because he wanted to make sure we could be ma'abed the shana.
How could he declare, I'm only here because I want to observe to be able to...
So what good is that going to do if you're not allowed to have any observers? It has to be seven and only seven. So Reuven's answer is, based on this footnote, that they postponed, according to Yishami, they postponed the decision till tomorrow, because since Rabbi Gamliel wanted very much Shmuel to be there, now we have all told eight people, that's a no-go. We can spend the time in deliberating in Divrei Torah, and considering all the possibilities and weighing the pros and the cons, but we could not possibly issue a decision of Yibra Shon.
Okay. But I'm wondering, postpone, isn't time of the essence, that they to postpone even a day?
What can they declare after Rosh Hashanah?
I guess this Yerushalmi is assuming that they could delay it by a day. Steve, they could postpone until after Rosh Hashanah. So this was
anytime
before
after Rosh Hashanah. But anytime after Rosh Hashanah, they could decide.
Right. So it doesn't have to be on any particular day. It's you have a stretch of time.
Yeah. I mean, if it's at our 28, we don't have a lot of time.
Okay. Now, again, before we stop for today and we'll pick this up tomorrow, I just want to mention that the Marsha has a problem. He says, "Ketzad also ken Shmuel akotan harei hoyel olacho shali achashu yered min ha'aliyah." Aliyah means from the God when he would go down. Ya abu es hashon al yidei shiva dayonim acherim v'echem hem einu min ha'mazumanim. How can Shmuel?
Who really was this?
How can Shmuel? One second. I'm sorry. I had it and I lost it.
He really was one of
the Mizumon,
so
he
would leave. Right. He wasn't Mizumon left.
But what does he mean? What does he mean he would leave?
Shmuel Akatan went down, then left behind would only be six.
Wait, I missed that point. Did Shmuel actually go down? One second, no Shmuel Akatan. And he shall release, he shall overshoot. And how does Marsha know that he actually went down? I understand the Marsha's question, but he's assuming that Shmuel actually dropped out. I don't know.
Surely he dropped out from the boat.
That's what he means. He says, again, I'm reading the language. He says, Sheyorad min ha'aliyah. So again, if he just dropped out from the boat, then he could have voted and agreed without. I mean, maybe maybe he needs a declaration. The assumption of our show is he needs to declare. Then maybe we'll add that. It's not enough that he's like tacitly agreeing, with the shtika. It's not enough that he's silent. He has to make a positive statement. I don't know if that's the case. That's something that we should investigate. So the Marsha asks if he recused himself, whatever that word is, from the actual vote, then we're left with seven, and one of them is not Mizumah, and that would undermine the whole process of Yibar Shana.
Maybe Shmuel is saying what he's saying. Shmuel couldn't say what he's saying about, I'm the one, and I'm only here because of this and this. He's doing it as he's going down the steps.
That's the way the Marsha understood it.
And that's when he says, Shem and he shaves. Don't go down. So he's on his way down.
But Shmuel was on his way down. So the Marsha is asking, how could Shmuel jeopardize the possibility of undermining the Yibar Shana because there's one guy there who's not been a Mizumon? So Belinet tomorrow, Marsha, based on this kasha, has a whole shtickle Torah here. Do you want to do it now? I mean, I don't like. I feel uncomfortable keeping you another 5 minutes.
So we should save it for tomorrow. We have a shame of a puzzle baiting because one.
Right.
Even though there were seven, one is an impossible.
Correct, because the seven judges that qualify for this bezin have to all be mizumanim, and according to many Rishonim, again the Marasha is going to disagree with that premise. But according to many Rishonim, one of them weren't mizumim, so Shmuel wanted to spare him from embarrassment. But if Shmuel, takes the first elevated down from the Gag, then what we're left with is that, okay, it's very nice that he spared him the humiliation, but what about the Yibar Shana itself? So the whole process is now...
In that circumstance, can the Nasi be the seventh?
Ooh, very brilliant. Okay, he says the following. Ubira marsha shebeemes lohoyesham adam she'ol shelo bershus. It's a radical pshat in the marsha. There was no one there in the group who was illegally there, uninvited. Ella. So what was the issue? Rav Gamliel amar l'shlucho seva hazmein shivul amachar. This we saw in Rabbeinu Chananel already. V'nistkavin Rav Gamliel sheyazmin shisha dayonim v'yachanim atzmo yu shiva. And the shliach misunderstood, because he said to the shliach, gather me seven. He relied on the shliach to understand that means gather me six plus me. But instead, achashliach lo haven is dvaro vehizmin shiva. V'yachanim Rav Gamliel hoyisham shmona. Rav Gamliel lo yada mita'uso shel ashliach. V'savar shaya echad shalosh. Somebody pushed himself in. But in truth, says the Varsha, every single one of the eight, meaning the seven plus one, were all mezumanim. Valkein amar mishu ola shelo bershus yered, according to the understanding of Rav Gamliel. But Shmuel himself was much smarter than Rav Gamliel, because he didn't assume that the shliach made a tovus. I'm sorry, he didn't assume that someone pushed himself in who was illegitimate, but rather he assumed that the shliach made a tovus and invited seven. Plus, Rav Gamliel makes eight, but it comes out that all seven are mizumanim. Now, Rav Gamliel's on the warpath. He's looking for that one person who pushed himself, and there's a chashash of humiliation here. So, lo chashash Shmuel akot lomer shehu ha'ola shelo bershus me'achash hafilu kishiyereid harei kula mizumanim. U'masha omer ha'gemor lo Shmuel akot eno yelachrina. Oh, so what does it mean that it wasn't Hakavana? Oh, so now we're in trouble here. But this is a beautiful pshat. Except, what do you mean? Someone else pushed himself in? Nobody pushed themselves. They were all mizumanim. Hakavana b'zeh shayashliach bocher asam mizumanim l'fi seder chashivusan u'shmul atkot na yachashiv yosim in ha'acher. Ah, when the shliach became aware of his mistake, he now makes a selection process. He's going to decide which of the seven are in and which of the number eight is going to be out. And he never would have rejected Shmuel, because Shmuel was so great. Is the fichach hayahu roi lios min ha-mezumanim? Right? Certainly Shmuel was worthy of being mezumanim, but he would drop out, and therefore the shliach would have no choice but to accept the other seven, all of whom were mizumanim. Right now up to six plus one. So we definitely would have an Ibra Shana that's valid even in the absence of Shmuel, and all of the remaining dayanim in the room were all mizumanim, and therefore they could be makshas six plus one with Rav Gamliel, they could be ma'abra the Shana. But the chiddush here of the Marsha is that there's a difference between Rav Gamliel's understanding of what actually happened and Shmuel's perception, in which Shmuel understood that they were all mizumanim. And in Rav Gamliel's mindset, the shliach had made a mistake, and he didn't understand that what Rav Gamliel had instructed was in effect to invite six dayanim. And therefore, Rav Gamliel, thinking that certainly the shliach should have invited and probably invited six, there must have been someone who pushed himself in. And Rav Gamliel was not aware of the fact that the shliach made this mistake, this common human error. He said, "You told me to invite seven, I invited seven." But Rav Gamliel thought he invited six, because he relied on the intelligence of the shliach to invite six and not seven. The total number would be seven. And therefore, Rav Gamliel came to the mistaken conclusion that somebody pushed himself in. And therefore, he declares, we've got to get him out of here. But Shmuel's not nervous about leaving, because Shmuel knows that all the other dayanim, one by one, were one after the other, were all mizumanim. But what would happen is that the shliach would now have to, sort of in a sense, focus and select that he now have to drop one of them, that person would be humiliated. And it wouldn't be Shmuel, because Shmuel was one of the greats. So Shmuel offered to sacrifice himself to avoid the humiliation of that person who would be asked to leave. But he knew full well that they would be able to be Ma'arav Lishona without him.
He couldn't know.
Okay, then we'll stop.
Shmuel didn't want to embarrass the Ram Gamliel because it could be. He made it.
You mean he could have actually stood up to Ram Gamliel and he said, look, the Shliach didn't make a mistake. The Shliach actually, right, again, I'm sorry, that the Shliach actually made a mistake. You told him to invite seven, and he invited seven, and they're all Mizumanim. So why do you have to get rid of... but we still... that's an interesting question. Oh, you're raising another question. In other words, if they were all Mizumanim, So then what? So what? Where's... If they were all Mizumanim... Again, I don't want to keep you, I'm sorry, but there's a lot of mathematics here.
I have an appointment.
Okay, so go to your appointment. I'm just going to go over this one more time myself. Just want to make sure I got all the mathematics here.
That's a nice
job. Yes, he says, "Be'emes lahayisham from Gamliel on the shluchot seviz min shiva." This coming up, Gamliel she asked me shisha shliach lo haven, and therefore he invited seven. Fine. So now he invited seven together with Gamliel. There were actually eight. Gamliel thought that somebody pushed himself in. So at this point, we could have told Rav Gamliel that all of them were Mizumanim. Now I'm just trying to figure out, the Mashiach doesn't address this question. What if all of them were Mizumanim? Would we have to tell one person to leave?
Yeah,
because otherwise you have eight, and it's a Bezdin Shokel.
Right, so that's the embarrassment. Somebody's going to be embarrassed. There, so.
Right. So when Ruvik said before that Shmuel, by offering to he sacrificed himself to avoid humiliation,
the Nazi's not gonna
then he could drop out, because Shmuel knew that it wasn't that one person had pushed himself in, but rather that the Shliach misunderstood. So Rav Gamliel thought the Shliach certainly understood that the extra person was uninvited. Shmuel knew, that's Rav Gamliel's mindset, Shmuel knew that they were all invited. But Shmuel knew that one person had to drop out, and he wanted to avoid the humiliation of the Shliach making that selection and telling so-and-so to drop out, so they have to knew of him to drop out.
Yeah, that would have been very embarrassing.
Right. But now, wait a second. According to Rav Gamliel's understanding, somebody actually pushed himself in. But if Shmuel's going to be an observer, that's not a problem.
Yeah.
Did we come to that conclusion, that if Shmuel is just an observer, that's not a problem?
I think so.
Okay, I have to just don't go over that, because because Rav Gamliel said shave and he shave, which means that you could be the eighth man.
You listen in, but you're not going to vote.
Correct, you're not going to be part of the vote. Oh, okay, thank you.